You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Health and wellness.
It's 25 minutes before 12 o'clock. It's time for our health and wellness feature. And today we are putting a spotlight on the state of nutrition in South Africa. There's the latest edition of the South African State of Nutrition Report indicating that we as South Africans have made efforts to be healthier, but we are still lagging behind with critical health factors such as your salt intake, your sugar addiction, exercise, just the overall relationship with food and healthy eating. And I wonder how you are making sure that you are healthy, that you're eating good food, right? Why do we have such a poor relationship with food in South Africa, and how can we do better at watching what we consume and put in our bodies? You can give us a call or send us a voice note or an SMS line to weigh in on this discussion. Arthur Ramoroka is the corporate nutritionist at Tiger Brands, is going to be guiding us through this discussion. Thank you, Arthur, for making time. Welcome.
Good morning, Clement.
Let's start with what good nutrition entails.
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, because people are often confused when we talk about good nutrition. And I just want to indicate that good nutrition is about enjoying a variety of food from different food groups and alongside healthy food preparations and the right portion sizes. Now, all this then provides us with adequate amount of nutrients that are necessary to promote good health and well-being. But also it's about knowing that the different kinds of foods have a role in our diet, and we should be aiming for balance so that good nutrition becomes an internalized part of our lifestyles.
So how do we fare then from this report? How do South Africans fare when it comes to their nutrition?
Yes, a number of insights that actually came out of the second iteration of the Eat Really Well State of Nutrition in South Africa report. And I guess South Africa, like much of the rest of the world, is undergoing what we call a nutritional transition, which means that on average we are consuming more energy dense foods from, you know, fast foods or sugar sweetened beverages. And also our very busy lifestyles often see us prioritizing convenient meals, you know, instead of cooking from scratch. So also, as you highlighted, on top of this, many of us don't exercise and move often. So this report revealed that there are many aspects of our health we need to really focus on. So just to highlight a few, we found that South Africans rated taste, cost, and promotion respectively as the most important factors when eating food. And further to that, 30% of South Africans strongly agree that cost drives the purchase of food, despite the health benefits which may be contained in different food items. And really that tells us that nutrition is often sacrificed in the moment, despite people often knowing better. And we also know that the average South African is not just overweight, but obese, many of the studies that were done previously by different organizations and so do highlight this challenge that we have. And I guess in a developing country such as South Africa, this tells a nuanced story around the attitudes and relationships we have with food and nutrition.
So you've spoken about the cost, you know, driving the patches, and there's always this perception, and you can tell us if it's real or not, that the healthy food is more expensive. Is that the case, or is there a way that people can still buy nutritious food but at a reasonable price?
Yeah, I mean, there is that perception around, you know, healthy foods costing more. But also, other question is, do people actually understand what healthy food really entails? I guess we need to also start from there, because as a nutrition professional, we know that healthy eating behaviors sort of include food from different food groups. And what we have seen previously is that people often portion distort and sort of eat a lot of certain food groups like starchy foods, as well as, you know, animal-derived sources of protein, which can be sort of not really affordable in certain instances. So it's about now recognizing that there are sections that may be displaced by the current eating habits that we can still bring into our diets, like legumes and pulses, which are really affordable, which have actually shown that, you know, the plant-based eating is actually one of the affordable ways that we can actually adopt. And also in our report, we have seen that more and more people are now turning into plant-based eating in the effort to, you know, lead healthier lives, but also limit their meat intake, which is more encouraging. And in that, we can actually then help people actually will then help themselves really to make sure that whatever they put in their plate is something that is really affordable. Yes, you're right. On the other hand, we know that food prices have been rising, and there's many challenges that countries get around, you know, people's access and affordability to food as well, which is something that is key.
Yeah. Do you think, though, we have a good understanding of the difference between healthy and unhealthy food? Because I was thinking just earlier this morning that I don't really often look at food labels, and sometimes I don't even know how to read them. So how is that understanding, and help us know better when we go do grocery shopping, so we know what kind of labels we look for and what they mean?
And what is interesting from the report as well is that 38% of South African parents also indicated that their children do not have a good understanding of the difference between healthy and unhealthy foods. But what was encouraging is that almost 32% of the parents indicated that their children significantly influenced the purchase of, you know, healthy foods. And you're right, you know, food labels are some of the tools that can be used, you know, to help us decipher what healthy foods are. So at Eat Well Well, we have what we call the Eat Well Well Stamp of Approval, which really aims to help South Africans make informed food choices. And really, the Eat Well Well endorsed products have a logo, a green logo, which really, I aim to help people at a glance on packaging to know if the products are actually in high in nutrients that they should be consuming more of, like fiber and vitamins, or a product is low in nutrients that they should be cutting down on, like salt and sugar. So there are many systems that are currently available which can actually help people decipher to know at a point of purchase or sale if the product is healthier and can form part of their generally healthy eating behaviors.
Yeah. So what about the role of the media and marketing? Because some of the food is advertised, but there's not a lot of focus on the labels and the benefits. So what role can the media and the marketing industry play in just helping us make better choices when it comes to the food that we purchase?
That's very important, because we know that what the media puts out actually helps to influence, you know, certain behaviors and match people, and definitely advertisement of products that are healthy can definitely match people in choosing the right kinds of foods. And I guess communicating the benefits that are contained in different food products and really showing how that can form part of a balanced diet is really critical. But also helping people know that they should have a healthy relationship with food, because we know that as people, sometimes we attach emotions to food. We often label certain foods as being either good or bad for us. And in reality, that we need a variety of foods, and once in a while, an occasional treat wouldn't hurt, right? So what the media can do is really then now help communicate the emotional and functional benefits that we can actually get from the different foods that we have, so that we're able to have a healthy relationship with food. And in that way, we'll be able to detach our emotions from food and see that food is an essential part of our well-being, rather than something that it can actually control, has control over us.
Yeah, all right. I've got some messages coming through from our listeners. I'm going to play them after the break, Arthur, and some calls as well. Maybe you want to give us a call. Tell us about which, you know, what decisions have you taken? What ways have you taken to improve your nutrition? Nicholas in Midrand says, Clement, I'm on a journey to be a vegetarian. So far, I don't take sugar in any form. Red meat is gone as well. I try my best to eat more greens on my plate than brown, whole food all the way. This is Nicholas in Midrand. And I have to say, like, I'm cooking more often now. And I make sure that there are greens as well. I don't enjoy the takeouts anymore. I just don't. Like, I want to make an effort to cook something. Whether it's tasty and edible, it's another story. But at least I make an effort to have greens and make a home-cooked meal that's nutritious. So if you've got some tips, you want to share your journey with us, give us a call.
702
Health and Wellness.
14 before 12 o'clock, it's our health and wellness feature. And today we're discussing the state of nutrition in South Africa and how you are making sure that you eat nutritious food. What decisions have you made to change your ways? I've got Arthur Ramuroka, who is a corporate nutritionist at Tiger Brands. Let's play some of your voice notes coming through on 0727021702.
Clem Delatlem and the team, I trust you guys are well. Can you please, man, help us here in the ghettos, you know, Magwinya, Makota, Inyama Zentlogo, you know, all these things, man, Amapia. You know, can you guys please, advise the black child who is in poverty and he only has that to eat?
Yeah. I thought that's a good point, right? Because for some people, at least there's an option to purchase this and that. Some people simply don't have much options. What advice do you have for them? What can they use within their means that is still nutritious?
Certainly, Clement. I think that is the reality that is faced by a lot of communities in South Africa, where access to, you know, nutritious foods may not always be something that they are privileged to. And I know what the gentleman was talking about in terms of Inyama Yentloko and all that. So I guess what I want to indicate is that, you know, as South Africans, we need to start also looking at, you know, how we can bring some of the foods that we often don't have in our plate, like vegetables. Because in our last year's report, many consumers indicated that they don't have enough vegetables and fruits in their diets, which we know certain foods actually displays them in the plate. So really about providing consumers with information around knowing what actually constitutes a balanced diet, half of the plate being vegetables and the rest, a quarter being protein as well as a quarter being a starch, is where we need to start. So that people now, if they are cooking at home or having a meal somewhere, they can actually associate what they're having together with that. But also, I think, as I indicated earlier, really bringing back certain types of foods like legumes, which are actually good in terms of promoting good eating habits, is also another important factor. The other types of foods that we have access to, I guess people already have them. It's about knowing how much they should have in terms of the portion control, as we often portion distort. Even if you're having that piece of meat together with the pub, how much of that are you having so that throughout the day you're able to split your meals and not really eat too much of certain food type, which will then ultimately mean that you're actually having a lot of calories from certain food types. So really, diversity and making sure that we include portion control as important elements are key, because we know that those foods will always be there, but it's about how we can actually incorporate them into healthy eating behaviors.
Hi, Clement. Can you please ask Arthur if all the measurements the government has put in place, like the sugar tax, I know they also had one on the salt reduction. I guess what I know, those measures, are they bearing any fruit? Letlhonolo here. Thank you.
Thanks, Letlhonolo. Arthur, are those efforts bearing any fruit?
Yeah. I mean, what was interesting is that our research indicated that on the upside, almost 32% of the respondents indicated that they are trying to avoid eating sugar. But on the other hand, which is an issue, almost 58% of the respondents are adding more salt to their food. And I guess while sugar justifiably has had a bad rep and the government has done really well in terms of putting other measures so that as people we are able to reduce our intake of sugar from sugar-sweetened beverages, a savory tooth might be equally dangerous to our health because people are not aware of the debilitating lifestyle diseases such as hypertension, which are linked to excessive salt intake.
Hi, Clement. It's a challenge because now we control by the kids as parents, and also the accessing of healthy foods is not easy like accessing fast food. The Uber apps, they display these beautiful, attractive fast food images, so it becomes easier for kids to order that. Bye.
No, but other parents need to play the main key role, right, of at least getting their kids to eat healthy. Because part of your report, the findings show that 2 out of 5, that's about 38% of South African parents, believe that their children do not have a good understanding of the difference between healthy and unhealthy foods.
I'm glad the listener brought this issue forward. And I want to indicate that balanced nutrition for children really begins at home, you know, by taking small daily steps that we can to model the right eating behaviors for children so that they can go into healthy adults and raise healthy families. So we need to get into the kitchen together with children. And I think this is an opportunity for us to be able to transfer knowledge about food and nutrition and really involve children in simple activities during the preparation of food, like washing veggies, mixing salads, and also provide an opportunity for children as well to build a meal and encourage them to, you know, create a meal for the family through choosing from different food groups and really thanking them for putting that meal, and which is tasty and nutritious. And we know that children learn from examples that they see. And if meals at home are treated as a chore that needs to be done as quickly as possible, they will continue to reach for those convenient foods that the listener actually spoke about. So healthy meals, we know that they require time, planning, and commitment. But rest assured that the principles and habits that children learn through the steps will benefit the whole family into the future.
Hi, Clement. This is to your question about our awareness about nutritional facts about our food, especially if you're buying from an informal fruit and veg and food markets, you are not going to get a nutritional chart. And we seem to think that the more color there is on a plate, the more nutritious it is. And sometimes that is very far from fact, because there's oil, there's mayonnaise, there's chutney, there is stock, there is cream, there is cheese. There are all sorts of things to make nice the food. And yet, that food is not necessarily the most nutritious.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Hi, Clement. I wonder what the authorities can do to promote eating healthy and eating well. Because, you know, finding legumes and seeds and lentils and, just healthy is very difficult. You don't easily find it in the normal chain supermarkets like Checkers, Pick and Pay and them. You actually have to go to specialist fruit and veg shops to find such. Because in the normal shops it's quite expensive and you rarely find them. Thanks.
Yeah. Arthur, any tips you can give our listeners on how they can improve their nutrition?
Yes, there are a number of tips that we can provide. I mean, even the state of nutrition report almost doubles up as a resource tool that people can look at. You know, they can visit the Eatwell World website at www.ewlw.co.za to find more information about the different tips on how they can improve, you know, their nutrition behavior. Because we know that for many people, following balanced eating behaviors can seem really daunting, and with many of us not knowing where to begin, really. And I just want to say that we can take small and consistent steps towards healthy food and eating choices each day. So we can create, so that we are able to create lifelong habits that will eventually become our lifestyle. So we need to remember that, like everything in life, this is a journey, and it's a gradual process that takes time and commitment. But also, one other thing that we need to do is plan our meals, and that's the quick win, because when you plan your meals for the week ahead, and you do your weekly shopping with a list and a full tummy, I need to add, because what happens if you go shopping with an empty stomach? You're almost going to be craving all those discretionary foods on the snack, all right? So you might end up buying those. So you need to really make sure that you have a shopping list so that you stick to what you're going to buy. But also, planning does mean that whatever you're going to prepare in the week will actually help you make sure that you're going to eat healthier foods. But also setting your kitchen or home environment for success. Do you have, you know, fruits at the kitchen countertop so that when you go into the kitchen, you are reminded that you need to have that serving of a fruit in your day? You know, those are simple things. And also, how you organize food in your fridge. Where are your veggies? Do you hide them at the back of many other things that are in the fridge, or are they at the eye level where you can actually see them? Also, with children, you know, as they are at home, do they have easy access to all those nutritious foods? But also eating regular meals, because we know that because of our busy lifestyles, we become so time poor. We sometimes skip meals. And if we skip meals, we are more likely to overeat during the next meal. And when we experience a drop in blood sugar during the day, we may be also tempted to reach for a quick energy fix, like a, you know, a snack or a treat that may be high in discretionary nutrients. So rather, we need to find balance and eat regularly and make sure that the meals that we're having are portion controlled so that we don't have too many calories from the meals that we are taking.
Yeah. Arthur, thank you so much for making time.